Let's just pray again. Lord, we just thank you for giving your life and laying it down for us. Lord, that's what it's all about. It's all about you and a relationship with you because you're so worthy of it, Lord. It's because of your great love that we want to love you and follow you and obey you and trust you and give you everything that we have because it's yours. We just want to tell you today we love you and we're so thankful for Jesus. In your precious son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Man, it's good to be back.
Yeah.
I missed you all like this much. I mean, 85 degree weather. You guys are having snow here. I was jealous. I was jealous you guys had snow. I was just, man. We left just in time, actually, this Sunday last, I think it was a couple weeks ago or something like that. I even forget how long we had, but I was able to go with an elder, Mark Dalton, and, you know, we had some similar stories. We've known Mark for a long time and used to work for Mark right after high school and so on and so forth, and youth pastor of his kids, and so we got to go fishing down in Florida, and I got to see some great scenery, some alligators, and so I thank you for your prayers, you know, you guys protecting us, you know. we were at high risk level fishing, as I say that. So our insurance just went way up, you know. Where are you guys going? You know, anyway. Then we went skydiving, then we went I'm just teasing. So anyway, turn your Bibles to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Thank you guys for being here. It's great seeing several of you guys come back. And so think about this. 2 weeks ago, last year, all of this started. So it's almost been a year. We're coming up on a year through all of this. And so I'm just very thankful for our staff, very thankful for our volunteers helping us through all this season. And so we're looking forward to greater things, right? Getting back to some normalcy, Lord willing. And so anyway, I also want to thank Watson. I know Watson's probably watching. I just want to thank him for filling in. He's just a great friend and got a wonderful family. And we've known each other for a long time as well, back in Bible college days, which is in 1990s, somewhere around there, I guess, something like that. And just very, very thankful for him. Also want to thank, many of you guys probably don't know this, but my uncle is retiring today at Hope's Point. He has been a pastor there for 38 years. And so our community is going to have a big hole. They helped get Grace House started and all of that for men and women for our community, and they've done so much. He and his wife have done so much. And so that's just part of my heritage. That's where I grew up to go in the church at. And got to be around my uncle for many, many years. He's a big champion for pastors and helping families. And so I'm just very, very thankful. So I'm sure they would appreciate your prayers moving forward as they look for pastor and all of these kinds of things. And so it's not going to be me. I'm not going over there. People have already asked me that. You going over there? No. I'm staying right here. Amen. I'm staying right here. So anyway, get through that later on. All right. Working some emotions down, just kind of calm down. So in Genesis 39, we're going to pick up on week 4 here on Joseph. And Joseph was in a pickle again, right? He's like, man, as he goes from one pit to another pit, now he finds himself in prison. All because of a false accusation of his boss's wife while his boss was gone and all the staff was gone. It's like, what a unique setup, right? It's like, wow. And this is the second time he loses his coat. First time was from his brother. Second time was from the situation. And he finds himself in prison because his boss really didn't believe maybe his side of the story. Listen to his wife and all those kinds of things. And so he finds himself in another pit. And so today I just want to talk about gaining perspective when life gets harder and when God seems silent. You ever had those moments to where life's been really difficult and you didn't understand what's going on? and God just doesn't seem to be saying much to you. It's like, man, it's like quiet. It's like, man, like your prayers just keep bouncing off. Nothing seems to happen. It's like, wow, your heart's overwhelmed, you're hurt, you're broken, and you're just wondering what's going to happen. And this is where Joseph finds himself in this situation. He's like, I don't know if he's going to have my head, because he's the captain of the guard, Potiphar was. He could have just taken Joseph out. I mean, the only thing Joseph knew was that back when he was 17, he had this dream. Two dreams, right? And ever since he had those dreams, life got harder and more difficult, and God just didn't say anything else to him through all of that time. It's like, how do you live when God just seems to put duct tape on his mouth? He's just not talking. No matter what you try to force, no matter what you're trying to go through, he's just not talking. And so I want to give you five perspectives today, five truths that will help us with our perspective, that will help us get through those moments. Because here's the thing, all of us are going to face these moments, right? Because God is after something, and we're going to see what he's after in just a little bit when we go through these moments. I remember hiking the Grand Canyon, and it was great starting off on top. You get to see everything. Man, the beauty of it. And then you start getting down into the pit. You start walking into the heat, and it's like, wow, I like the 45-degree weather versus the 95 dry heat. But then you had to climb out of the pit. Thousands of miles. And every time you climb a little bit higher, you see a little bit more perspective. You get to see where you came from. You get to see what God has brought you through. And even though the uphill is hard, it's worth it. Amen? Amen. It's worth it. And God is constantly encouraging us. I know life is sometimes uphill, but keep going. Right? Amen. That's right, Gabriel. He's getting all Pentecostal over there on us. Someone has to, right? Yes, someone has to. Now, if he starts running around, I'm going to leave this place. You know, that's it. That's right, yes. We need an interpreter for that. He'll grow up bilingual for sure. That's for thing. But gaining perspective, five truths I want to help you guys with. When you don't know what to do in life, when God seems silent, here's number one. He is with you no matter what. When God seems to be distant, when he's not saying much, always know he is there. Ah, notice chapter 39, verse 21. It says, while Joseph was there in prison, who showed up? It says the Lord was with him right there in prison. But notice, compare that to 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph and he prospered him. So no matter what, if you go through prosperity or you go through prison, man, God is with us. He is fighting for us. He is for us. He wants you to know that deep down, even when things are silent. I am with you to help you through all of this. I am the Lord your God. Amen? Amen. He's an amazing God. When we're falsely accused, when we're unjustly framed, it doesn't matter what happens to us. God's like, I'm going to help you through it. I'm going to help you through it. Now think about what happened to Jesus. I mean, the same things that happened to Joseph happened to Jesus, just to a more certain level. Jesus was crucified, right? Because all the things that were happening to him. But did he always know? He says, my Father is always with me. And I always do those things that please him, no matter what I go through. And Joseph is a perfect example of that. His faithfulness through everything, no matter what pit, no matter what happened to him. It doesn't say his emotions through all of this, but it just shows that the Lord was with him. And Moses is writing his story here, and he says, God, he's given us a perspective that the Lord was with Joseph through it all. Thrown in prison, waiting a trial. Think about this, that never happened. But God had a plan to get him out. And he found himself all alone, wondering what's going to happen to him. But you know what? God had a plan. And the whole thing is the greatest gift God gives us on this side of heaven is his presence. Think about that. Now think about this truth. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on. I'll just touch on it now. And that is, you think about the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God has never in eternity ever felt alone. Never. In Genesis 1, when he created Adam, and he says, it's not good for him to be alone. Even though he had the animals, the best pets in the world. You know what I mean? Always obeyed him, you know. He says, it's not good. Now, here's a God who's never felt alone or been alone his whole life. And he's telling and evaluating Adam's situation, it's not good for you to be alone. And he says, you know what? I'm going to come to you. I'm just going to be with you. You know, when astronauts pass away, there's a certain saying that Christians have, as Christian astronauts will tell each other, hey, may they enjoy the vision of God forever. But I don't think as awesome as that's going to be, it's going to be, may we enjoy the presence of God forever. That's what heaven is all about. We're in his presence. And his presence is going to come down. And the Holy Spirit is that presence of heaven inside of us. Amen? And he's with us even through our darkest times. So always remember, when he's not saying anything, always remember he is with you, he is for you, to help you. Joseph had to go through isolation, I'm sure, himself. He's isolated. Think about this. He was away from his family, away from his dad, now away from his co-workers. I mean, he worked his way up at Potiphar's house. He's away from his co-workers. He's completely isolated in this house arrest, this lower detention center, probably because the king's two guys came there, and so it's kind of lower level crime unit. But he was still housebound and all this kind of stuff. But he found himself isolated. You ever been isolated? Felt confined? Yeah. Sometimes going through depression. Yeah, we can get there. Joseph probably went through all of those emotions, wondering what was going to happen next. His thoughts probably just running 1,000 miles a minute each and every day. What's going to happen? But he meets these two guys that change everything, as we're going to see in just a little bit. So the second point is simply this. He's warning you in times where it gets hard and when he doesn't say anything, he wants you to come closer to him. You're like, please explain that. When life goes from one pit, from one situation to another, and it gets harder, we tend to feel like God isn't close, right? We don't feel his presence. We don't feel like he's near. We don't feel him. He seems distant. Why isn't he saying anything? Where is he at in the midst of all this? What is he doing? God is always saying, just come closer. Just come closer. And you'll see why in just a minute. James Dobson, in his book, When God Doesn't Make Sense, says that when God seems like he's far away, always remember that's when he's the closest. That truth hit me like a ton of bricks when I read that. It's like, yeah, because here's the point. We don't base our life on our feelings. Right? Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. I should be on the praise team, right, Mark? That's, yeah. I sing back up, way back up, all right? There's a commercial that just came out. I think it's really funny. It's talking about the Rocket Mortgage, and it talks about almost sure. Yeah. You know, like you're jumping, you're almost there, it's almost sure. You know, it's like, you know, no, you want something sure in your life, not just almost sure. Almost is not good enough, you know. But we don't base our life on our feelings. You know, sometimes when you get up, you're like, what do I feel like for breakfast? What do I feel like for lunch? What do I feel like for dinner? You always base things on how you're feeling, what your gut is trying to say. You know, I feel like a little Mexican today. I feel like a little hot dog. I feel something easy, you know. And so you base decisions on how you feel at the moment. And God's like, you don't live that way. Base your life on some truth. Because your feelings can come and go, right? Base it on the truth. Base it on some promises. Base it on what God is saying to us. You know, James 4:7, Jesus' little brother said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary, heavy laden, heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Ever since Genesis to Revelation, God says, come. Come. He's always going to say that. Just come to me. Just come closer. I remember when I was a kid, I would ride my bike a lot. And that seems to be like a lost art anymore, right? I used to ride my bike a lot. And we'd jump and hit the curb and sidewalks, all this kind of stuff. And I'd fall and scrape my elbow or knee. And I would just come, I'd just start crying, look at my elbow, boo-boo, and just start crying and like wondering, where's Mom at? She's not here at my accident. What's she doing? She can't be sweeping all day long. So I have to go to her inside the house, right? Show her my boo-boos, my scrapes. And what does she say? She says, come here. She says, come here. Puts me up on the countertop, gets the antiseptic spray out, and she's like, this is going to sting a little. Remember that antiseptic spray growing up? It's like, duh! It's like it's cold, and then it burns, and you're like, ah, blow on it, Mom. And he puts a Band-Aid on it, and then she just, what? Then she just holds you for a little bit. Gets those tears out and your eyes and just, come here. That's exactly what God wants to do to us. When we face all kinds of scrapes and boo-boos in our life and all these kinds of hurts and pains, it's like, just come to me. Let me just hold you, take care of you. It's going to be okay. You know what I mean? It's just going to be okay. But God has to remind us of that sometimes. There was an old commercial called Arid Extra Dry. Remember that commercial? It says, come a little closer, right? Don't be shy. Use Arid Extra Dry. But the same point is what God is saying, come closer to him. Just come to him. Even with your armpits stink, no matter what happens. God's like saying, come to me, I'm sorry. Just come to me. Don't ever forget those words. Just come here. Come here. God's got this. Thirdly, he's building deeper character in our life. Sometimes you're wondering, what is he doing through all of the things that we face? And Joseph didn't understand what God was doing. Remember, all he knew was the two dreams to where his brothers bowed down to him, his mom and dad bowed down to him. He's like, what does this mean? Even though they interpreted it correctly, he still didn't understand what it meant. He's only 17 years old. He's like, I don't get this. But then he faces his brother's jealousy and anger and rage. Then he faces all these kinds of things. And he's like, God, what are you doing? It's not so much, God, what are you saying? God, what are you doing? And here's the key point. God's always building depth of character. Give an example of this. When we were in Haiti, we did a house build several years ago. And we had a great time building this. We worked our tails off, and we started from the ground down. So we had to build a foundation. So we had shovels, picks, and some of you guys moving rocks. Remember this? And you're like, man, we were wore out. 100-some degree weather, out in the sun, just digging this foundation. And we got to a certain level, and the guy with the construction hat on would bring this little measuring thing over. And I hated this guy. He bring it over and he goes, hey, you got to go this much deeper. Like, okay. Whew. I mean, this every corner, every aisle way. And he's like, how's it look now? Tell more. Like, oh, I'm going to break that stick here in a minute. But what was he after? The deeper you go with the foundation, the stronger it is. And God sometimes is digging depth, and it's hard. But the foundation he's trying to build in your life, oh, that's the gold in it, right? So Peter says, even though you're refined like silver and gold, you're going to come out stronger. God's always building depth. Five areas where Jesus really taught the disciples these five principles on character. Faithful, right? Doing what's right for the right reason all the time. My brother told this story. About my dad and him going to this fishing expo in Indianapolis. They'd always go. And my brother paid for a lure. I think it was the Whopper Plopper. I don't know what it was. He paid for a lure. He gave him like 20 bucks, and the guy gave him like 80 bucks back. And he's like, Dad, what do I do with this? He goes, I gave the guy 20, he gave me 80 back. He goes, I don't know what to do with this. Dad is like, well, you can't keep it. That's not being faithful, not being honest. God's not going to bless you if you keep it. And so he was faced with a dilemma. And so he bought more lures. With that money, no, that's not what he did. He turned it back and said, hey, you made a correction here. He goes, hey, I'm so thankful. Most people wouldn't have done that. But Dad pulled him aside and says, God's not going to bless you if you don't correct this. Be faithful, son. That's not yours. That was their mistake. I never forgot that little story. So that impacted his entire perspective. Then being trustworthy. Can you be trusted with little? Well, then God can trust you with more later on. Luke 16, very great chapter on being trustworthy. Patience, waiting on God's timing. It's like, you know, my patience is kind of what we call thin. You know, we don't have much depth in our patience sometimes. And God's trying to build patience in us. And so I never pray for patience. I never pray for that. People say, you need to be just pray to ask God for more patience. I'm like, no! He's going to give me more stuff I got to be patient on. No. But remember, Joseph told the cupbearer, he says, hey, remember me when you get out. And it was 2 years later. Oh. 2 years later. He had to go through that whole daily grind in the prison and everything else 2 years later. God's like, Joseph, you need to be patient on my timing. I'm for you. I'm here to help you. But I'm digging depth here, son. I'm digging depth. Serving. Joseph served and was raised up even in the midst of that situation. Even through all of his pain, misunderstanding, hardship, he kept serving. And here's a key point. When you're going through stuff that's hard, keep serving. Why? Because it's in the serving of others in the midst of your pain that you get healed. Oh, please learn that lesson. It's sometimes being a blessing to others while you're serving that you get some wholeness. You get find purpose again. If we just stay in our prison cell and never get out, we just in there. And Joseph kept serving. There was a movie called Patch Adams years ago, this doctor's philosophy, that while you just got helped, you, while you're waiting, help someone else. And he says that was good therapy for you to come out of the hospital, not just to sit in your room, but go help someone else. Be a blessing. God's got a big shovel, and he's after depth. Amen? He's after depth. So let him dig deep. Remember when those times get hard, he's got that shovel out. And he's measuring how far he wants to go with you. He's building the strong foundation that's going to last for generations to come. And then the last point is humility. Humility, God is after a humble spirit. He lifts those kinds of people up. And you see that in Joseph all the time. He constantly lifts Joseph up. He puts him down and he lifts him back up. Puts him down and lifts him back up. Now he had to go through some humiliating circumstances. But God was teaching him humility through all of this. Hey, Joseph, I have something in store for you that's going to blow your socks off at just the right time. Just stay humble. It's like, what does humble mean? How do you know when you get to that place of humility and humbleness? It simply means when you say, God, I need you. God, I can't go on without you. God, you're all I have. Even when life breaks you down like this and you can't go on, God's like, I'm right here. You're at the right spot where I can use you. It's when we live, as I mentioned before to you, it's hands up, hands out, not hands closed. It's like, God, I got to have you come through. Got to have you. So he's teaching us humility. When you think of the life of Christ, you're like, wow, how humble can this guy go? How far can he go? And that's why Paul says in Philippians 2, that's why Jesus was exalted to the highest place. Given a name and title above every name in heaven and earth. Because he went down the farthest. So God shows us what humility is like when life gets hard. Fourthly, he is setting things up in your setbacks. Oh, I love this point. Turn your obstacles into what? Opportunities. You probably heard that. But God is always using our setbacks for His setups. Not that God is doing crunches, not those kind of setups, right? Some of you might have got that later on, all right. But here's the point. God has something else in store. We tend to focus on the immediate, right? Hey, this is what I'm going through. This is what I'm facing. And God's like, I already have that covered for you. I'm already on to the next thing. I'm setting it up for the next thing. If Joseph didn't go to prison, he would have never met the two guys who were close to Pharaoh. And so it's sometimes when you're in the situation and you're trying to look, I'm trying to figure things out, you can't. It's not till you get out, you look back and you're like, oh, now I see what he's doing. He put those two people, he put me there for a reason. Right? It's not till we look back sometimes do we see his sovereign hand before us. You know, God set up the cross so the resurrection and ascension can happen. You ever think of it that way? It's like if there was never the cross and there was never the resurrection. Well, the resurrection is the hinge pin, right? If there's no resurrection, then we're doomed. But the cross set up the resurrection. It set up his ascension. It set up his exaltation. Our setbacks are always his setups. Now think about this. God was speaking to Joseph through other people's dreams. Remember how God spoke to Joseph through a dream and was silent? And now these two guys have a dream, and then Pharaoh has two dreams. This is interesting. So in chapter 41, verse 32, the reason he's talking to Pharaoh here, the reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God and God will do it soon. Now, how many dreams did Joseph have? How many dreams did Pharaoh have? Two. Both were firmly established and decided by God. Joseph's took 13 years. Pharaoh's took a matter of minutes and hours and days. But what God showed Pharaoh was the huge setup for the moment, what was to come. God was speaking through this dream to Joseph. And Joseph gave glory to God. He says, I'm not the interpreter of dreams. God is. God gives dreams. He's the interpretation of them, and he fulfills it, right? So here's a major point when it comes to dreams. If God gives you a dream, what's the meaning of the dream, and has it come to fruition? If it hasn't come to fruition, then the dream was never from God. I have a dream that gas prices will go up. They already have. I'm sorry. I'm a prophet, yes. Non-profit prophet. Yeah. But God was speaking. Now think about this. God sometimes speaks to you through others. Ah. You ever had your kids or your spouse just kind of like, oh, that was from the Lord? That's not how we see it, do we? Sometimes. But God speaks to us through other people. And Joseph was listening. But also Pharaoh was listening. Now think about this. God in the Old Testament used dreams and visions and prophecy. But Hebrews chapter 1 says, God sent his son and he spoke through his son very clearly to us. So Jesus is more important than our dreams ever, right? Then lastly, he is able to restore and lift you up. He's using your setbacks for his setups to restore you and lift you up. In essence, God is able to write a good ending for those who trust Him. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is to give God the pen and say, you write the end of the story. I can't figure this out. You ever been there? It's like, God, I can't figure this out. It's beyond me. Here's the pen. You write it out. The cupbearer's position was restored, just like Joseph in his dream had happened. Now, could you imagine the baker having to tell him, hey, buddy, your dream's not so good. You're not going to make it. He must have made him one heck of a breakfast that he did not like for Pharaoh. Who knows? He put something in his goat meat in instead of a sausage. Who knows what he did to offend the king? But the cupbearer's position was restored. Joseph was remembered. And he became second under Pharaoh. Now, I love this part in chapter 40. It's like when Joseph went before Pharaoh, he shaved. There's a time to shave, guys. All the ladies said, amen! I'm just kidding. You grow your own facial hair out. You're free to do that. But he shaved, and so he went before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was like understanding this dual dream, and he's like, then Joseph gives the whole plan of what he ought to do and everything else, and Pharaoh's looking around. He's like, hey, fellas, who are we going to put in charge of all this? You listen to this guy? And they're like, well, yeah, we don't want it to happen. 7 years of good, 7 years of bad famine. We're going to listen? And Pharaoh looks right at Joseph. And he says, you're my guy. And immediately, he's like, what? In a single day, out of 13 years, God exalts him. Could you imagine his emotion that day? Wow. Goes from prison to the palace. Set free from all those things. Gets a wife. Has two kids, as we're going to see in just a little bit. Two boys. And I love what Warren Wiersbe says here. God's delays are not God's denials. When God's developing patience, He's not denying you. Oh, that's good. 7 years of abundance, 7 years of famine. Now, there's something economic with 7 years. If you study 7 years, good years, bad years. We've had that same experience in the last 21 years in America. If we study economics. And so Pharaoh's dream had bulls in it. So we had a bull market. He didn't even know that. Some of you are like, what is he talking about, a bull market? Anyway, had a fat cow and an ugly cow. That's what I talk about. Had some good years and some bad years, some lean years. Right? So the point is, store up when life is good, because lean years are going to come. Right? There's a whole principle there when it comes to economics. Always store up. Always plan. Now here's the key thing to understand. God's eternal plan, and this is something my uncle helped burn in my brain, I don't know how many times. What God is after is not just depth of character. He's not just there to help restore you. He's going to do that. But He's after to make you more like Jesus. So He's going to use all different kinds of things. Because His eternal plan is so that you look like Jesus. So there's this term called glorification, right? In biblical terms, that's when we get to heaven, we're going to be like Him, no sin. We're going to be pure like Him. We shall see Him like He is. And it says, 1 John 3 says, we shall be like Him. His whole goal is for you to accept Him, and be like him. That's it. So when those moments come, always know he's got the sandpaper out, he's got the shovel out, he's working on you to make you more like Jesus through all of this. And Joseph comes to a point here, and we're going to close just a little bit, so you guys can just be come up and be ready. Joseph has two boys. He marries the priest's daughter, Asenath, and her dad was a priest of the sun god Ra. If you study Egyptian times, all those kinds of things. And so he marries her, has two kids, and notice what he names his two kids. Very important here. It's like, well, how do you know if you've come to complete restoration in your life? You want to know? Look at these two names. He names his first son Manasseh, chapter 41, verse 51. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. Now, the next story, next week, God brings his household back for a very specific reason. Here he is trying to forget all these 13 years of what happened to him by his brothers. Left his father, all his younger brother Benjamin, all these kinds of things. He's trying to forget all that. But now he says, God has helped me forget. You see the difference? I tried to forget. God has helped me forget. We're including God in the situation. Then he names his second boy Ephraim. It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Being forgotten, being fruitful. Not forgotten by God, but feeling forgotten. But God has made me fruitful, even in the midst of my suffering. It's beautiful, isn't it? God has done these things for me. Why? Because he's with me, he's for me, and he loves me. He has something in store that's beautiful. And Joseph had his moment right there with God. When he named his two boys. Huge moment. Because simply what he was saying is like, God, you have done all of this. You've helped me through it all. And all I have is because of you. He would have never dreamed his dreams would have come true the way it did. But God gets all the glory when he restores us. Notice this verse in 1 Peter 5:10. Peter says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, temporary, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Peter says, God himself will do that. Are you waiting for that moment? Have you had that restoration moment in your soul? That Manasseh and Ephraim moment? Where it's just all you want is God. And all you want to give to God is praise. Even from your past. Amen.